This is Mary Murphy. It's August 2nd, 1987. What follows is an interview with Robert Rhodes, done in Glasgow, Montana, for the Fort Peck Dam Project.
I can get it right here. Unless it's someplace else. Unless I lost it. Well, we can't waste time.
It's okay. Maybe we'll get to it.
Now, where were we?
Here we are.
And that's the cutter head. That's the great big old auger that digs up the mud. And that's the floating booster that they were working on it. And there was the dredge in the line with two pumps. Then there was a floating booster in the same line with two pumps. And then there was a single pump up on shore, halfway up the hill to the. And here's where they were putting that fifth unit that was on land. Here's where they were putting it up from the land into the fill, which was probably 150 feet high. And they had this many. They had the Caterpillar tractors. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They had 6 or 8Caterpillars dragging it up there on skids, all the way from the water clear up the hill and into the fill, which was full of water in the center, because the dredges pumped water in, and they built a kind of a core around the outside, and in the middle was a lot of water. And that was an interesting trick, and some of the things that they did is unbelievable, and I don't think have ever been done before. Anyway, that's good. Here's the cutter head.
Was what I wanted. Oh, okay.
See, that's the cutter head. See, that big old machine just claws rocks, mud, shale, everything up.
Well, since you had your degree in mechanical engineering and said you were somewhat of a tinkerer, did you ever make any improvements on the machinery?
I don't think that I did. I wouldn't say that I did. I might have a few little things, but. But I studied that machinery, and I could tell almost by listening what was going on, whether it was loading up or whether it was not pumping enough. And I could just, every time there was a change in the machinery, there is always a change in the vibrations and stuff. And I pretty near knew exactly what was happening all the time. Like we dredged up some old barges. And if a stick of the old barge or old boat that was down 60, 70 years ago, made out of oak, about four by six planks, the cutter head there would just grind them up into shoestrings. Then get into pumps, and then the pumps would just shake and rattle the whole dredge. Now we have to shut down and take that old stuff out. And I had some souvenirs for a long time, but the wood was just as solid as it was when it sunk 50, 60, 70 years ago.
So you kept some of those?
I kept some of it, but I've since lost it. I wish I didn't. And it was black from the water. Very dark, not quite black. And here's a.
No, this is the Jefferson.
Yeah, that's the dredge. Mm-hmm. That's the way it looked. And here's the spuds that they stick down in the water. And one of them is down, and they swing it to the right. They put the other one down and take this one up and swing it to the left, and that's the way they walk forward. All right. And this is the floating booster. That's what I was on for a year or two.
Before you were on the dredge?
No, yeah, I was on the dredge as a striker, and I was down one of the workers, one of the peons. But I ran the dredge, but I didn't know it. I didn't have any authority.
Uh-huh.
And then about almost 3 years, I was a dredge engineer that ran it. Here's the lever room. There's a guy up there, pulls all these levers all the time. He's just up there, pull them, walking back and forth.
And that's what
lowers and raises the cutter head. Also, what swings it around like this. And there's two big cables up at the front, one anchored to the right, one anchored to the left, and he would just swing back and forth with the covers and the covers, and then back and forth and back and forth.
Now, what's this? Core pool spillway.
Well, now that's when they have to have an overflow. When the dam gets overflow, it's got to have water to flow over. And I believe this is the matting, a reinforcing steel that they put up there to hold it, hold the concrete and stuff like that. And only one time since it's been built has the spillway ever been used. And this is mostly dredges. This is that land booster I was telling you about. This is a land booster up here. But it's up on a hill now. Mm-hmm. I think it's discharging. And over here, now they had a huge trestle going clear across the river that looked to me like it was 100 feet higher, maybe 150, maybe 200, because they used it to haul in rock. Here's a train load of rock and dirt. First dirt, and then they had trains come along here and dump it, and it would fall down and finally closed off the river. And then they finally built up the whole dam in this section by train loads of... No, I think maybe they may have filled it up to close it, and then they could haul it in better with bulldozers. But I don't know about that. Here is... I believe this is the trestle where they were building to put this on.
Mm-hmm. This says a high water log jam, 1937.
Oh, well, then that's different. Yeah, there was a log jam came in there. Logs by the thousand came in there and caused the water to raise up. Mm-hmm. Now, this is about blasting ice. Then they were blasting the ice to get it to go on down the river. It lodged and pile up, and then they'd get out there and blast it loose. And there's something interesting a little bit later on that. And this is, I guess it's breaking up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell what that is.
Mm-mm.
I can't, I really can't see that. I lost an eye last year. That's a dredge. No, that's floating booster. That's what I was on for almost 3 years. And here it is over here. And it's just in the line that this boosted, helped boost it on.
This helped boost the...
Yeah, first the digger dug it up and then started it. Then it went about 100 yards or so, varies very much. And then it went through another series of pumps, of two, that are just like those in the dredge, which boosted on up a little bit farther. And then just before it goes up the hill to the fill, there is a land booster that has one pump. And it shoots it over the hill. And it's, this is structures for something I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more dredging up in here. And I was kind of a fast one. I could start my units up probably 2 minutes faster than anybody else. And sometimes it busted something. And here's a pipe bust. I busted that pipe.
By starting it up too fast? So too much stuff?
Well, I had a little air pocket in.
So did people compete against each other trying to get going?
No, we were supposed to. The runners were supposed to. Yeah, we were supposed to. We kind of did. Anyway, there's a big pump out there that's ready to be put in. And here's the runners. That's the impellers, the thing that turns around and whips it. And those are... Well, they're high as the ceiling about. No, the pump probably is the size of that, but these are not quite that high. They're this high, as high as this hole here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great big thing here. Well, it's a 28-inch pipe. And this around here is 20, starts about 28 and then goes down to smaller. But then it goes, the water goes right on out up to the hill. And that's spare one. Yeah, there it is.
Now,
here's one busted. Here's one that busted.
Now, this is Tommy the Diver. Was this Tommy Scales?
No. I don't know what his name was. I don't know what his name was, but he was a diver. And
what did the divers do?
Well, there was all kinds of problems. Something might be done on that big thing that raised up there. Maybe something happened down there. They couldn't raise it. Had to go down and fix that. Or all kinds of stuff. So maybe there's a patch to be put on the dredge or something like that. But this is in the tile driving department. And I don't know. I may show you the tile. I don't know. Let's get on here. This is a switchboard to start and stop the machines. And that's a dredge. And this is just another dredge. And we had a big, big, huge cable where the current come in, and there's the reel that it's on, and then as this rolls out, the dredge goes on, and then comes back, it rolls back. Here's the switchboard again. Here's Phipps, for me, and I. He's the oiler. And of course, I liked to eat a little bit, and I had to get ready to eat a little bit. But I was a striker then. I think I was a striker then.
What does striker mean?
That means he's the guy that runs it. He's the worker, but not the laborer. That's the first step towards being an engineer. That was the last one, too.
And now, what's this, a sunken booster?
Well, right beside us, about as far as from here, over there was two of us, just like this floating booster I showed you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both just pumping like mad, and all of a sudden, something happened over there, and I don't know what happened. I've forgotten, but there was a leak of some kind, a bad leak. For instance, like a pipe come and connected. And it just, I was there, just sunk down the water. And it was almost completely submerged.
Were they able to get it up?
Or later on they got it. They lifted it. All they have to do is put some bulkheads around it and just pump the water on it.
Hmm. Was anybody hurt in there?
No. It was just a fun thing. It wasn't very funny then. This is dredging, just dredging. These big spuds, they just walk along as they just swing back and forth. That's the repair yard for the dredge stuff, mm-hmm. where they repair stuff. Let's get on to you. Let's take a good look at that. And that's another pump, and this is the land part of the pipe that's going through the car booster up above. And here's a bunch of the pumps and stuff being repaired and all that kind of stuff. See, there's another one. Got a big crack in it.
Did you have to stop often to have machinery repaired?
No, we didn't. They were very well repaired, and I think we changed pumps maybe once a year or twice a year, which meant 2-3 days, because they come in and did it right away. That's some of the same stuff. That looks like the land booster. That's all right. Let's go. I don't know who that is. It's a wedding anniversary for somebody. Forgotten. Here they're lifting. There they're lifting the floating booster out. See, they got the bulkhead all the way around it.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to float it out. Booster car, number 3. That's up on the land. Log jam again. There's the log jam come down. And that's the bridge across the Missouri River, somewhere. Here's more dredging. Madison floating booster. There's a drag line. There's a drag line out there. You know what they are. That's what they call is this thing drags. When they load up, they just hook it out and drag something in and then throw it over here. Fort Peck townsite. There's the townsite.
There weren't many trees then.
No trees. None. We railroad trestle. Now, this is a trestle that goes across, clear across, all the way across, and that's where they hauled in all this is all rocks and stone and stuff, faced, and that's where they hauled it in from here, from way out west somewhere. What is this? Well, this is where the water is being pumped in with the mud in it, and this is just big pond, and they drain it off so that all the solids are settled, and then they drain it off. This is substation. And this is the sheet piling that they put clear across. That's steel. They drive way down to bedrock. And that old hammer went day and night for months. And we could hear it. Just the plane here to go down there and go to sleep.
Everybody, so you could hear it all the way up in the barracks.
and my roommate, Ole, was the inspector on that job. And we'd kid him about it. We hated him. lower toe. Of dam. Well, this is they call it the backside of the dam. This is the substation. Well, we could blow off our system muscle off. If we wanted to drain it, we just open this valve in the back of the dredge or the, and just blow all the water out. There's a pretty good picture of a dredge.
Mm-hmm.
It's far away. And here's that trestle.
Mm-hmm.
Way along there. And as far, all along here, and that railroad went clear on in to Haver someplace in Holland. Train load after train load of huge granite rocks. All right, let's get going. This is Corpool barge. Oh, that's the barge they put up in the top, finally. This is the railroad, go down here. But the machine shops are down in there. And we had a couple of girls come out here one time. And I didn't have them, but somebody did. Here's us guys here in the barracks. This is my striker that helped me. That's the big core pull up on top again, and this is railroad trestle. The dike section, there was a dike up there. And this is the sheet piling going in.
Oh, yeah.
Clear across, and they just bang it down as far as they go and then put another piece on it, weld it on down. Then they build a cutoff wall to what they call, I guess, to stop the water. I don't know what that was. Forgotten. And this is the field of 1936. It was way wide.
So it looks like you really tried to keep up with what was going on all over the place.
Oh, well, we just lived here. We lived it, that's all.
Those are the control towers.
Well, that's the water flow comes through there. And then there's a... You can go through that whole thing now. It's very interesting. This is Corpool placing...
Avery Rock?
Quarry Rock.
Quarry Rock.
That's the big rocks they hauled in. Mm-hmm. On this track. And this is up on top, the Corpool, that's what they call the top, where the water was. And here's... it isn't very high here. And this is more trestle, and this is more dredge, floating boosters. Mm-hmm. And this is inside the dredge. This is the Corpool again. I don't know why. I picked up. That's the big dignitaries, the top guys. And here's the crew of strikers. Now, those are strikers. I don't know if I'm in here. Yeah, here, not here. That's the guys that had the same job I had. There was four of them on every dredge. Four on every floating, each one. And so there'd be four from four, 16, and then three times that because of three shifts. And so there was a lot of it.
What do you think, what was this occasion that you were all together for that photo?
Well, I think pretty well finished, and they called us all out and took pictures for it. Yeah, I knew every one of those guys. All went out with them and had a beer with them and danced with the tacky. Oh, the married ones never got away with it.
The married ones didn't get away with
it. I don't think. Here's the runners. Here's the guys that pull the levers up there. All the, and this was mostly all my. He's a Swede. It kind of looks like this is him. I mean, he was right from Sweden. He couldn't talk very good English, but he liked to drink. I don't know how this guy in here is my high school grades.
You did pretty good.
Well, I did good enough. Anyway, we're on the tunnels. Now, here's the tunnels. They were first bare, and then they put in these big beams around and around and around. And then they put in this here, to brace that up. And here's a shale saw.
Oh,
and that's
the
longest across here, that blade, I think, almost.
Yeah, it's about 12 feet long.
Oh, no, I believe it's about 16.
Yeah.
And inside the tunnel, where the work's going on, all this reinforcing steel and stuff. And Ole, my roommate, and the guy that worked night shift down there, had a dog. And I might not have a cart in here, but they had a gasoline cart or electric cart or something. They ran up and forth, back and forth, and they stopped too quick once. Oh, here's the grout thing I helped build and operated. And we bring in from the riverbed pretty coarse sand, and then we'd elevator would take it up here, and then we'd screen it back down and haul it off from this spout here.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take up on this screw here and then haul it out on this. And I never got a picture of the pile, but it was a mountain.
And this is the one that's that the one that blew up when they...
No, this is not what blew up. On the other end, they had air and water, and they mixed that all together and blowed it against the exposed dirt. Mm. And then that sealed it, and it didn't fall off.
But the tool,
the machine that was putting it on the wall, blew up and killed a guy, and they didn't. They just leveled it off. Anyway, that's great.
Now, where is this?
Oh, this is. I went up while I was working here. I went up into Yakima, Washington, to see my grandmother, and she lived in a little colored town, little colored section of Yakima. And they were out there, and I was talking to them, kidding around, and I wanted a picture. So I took them. Okay. That's up in Yakima, Washington.
Were there any blacks that worked on the dam here?
Not very many. Not very many, no. Not many. Oh, cooks, all the cooks.
No,
I'll take that back. That's in the Seabees. They were all cooks. Uh-huh. And here, evidently, is the spillway. All along here, I didn't know I had that. And one old man was in that picture over there, in our outfit. He was an old man. He was a concrete tester, tested concrete inspector, and he lived in our barracks. Oh, full of stories. It's full of stories. Never had a tooth in his head. Now this is the spillway. Yeah, that's the gates. Way up 250, 60 feet above the bottom of the lake. And they use it once so far. And it's construction. And here's my oiler, Old Smokey. Got drunk every time he got a check. And here's me and some guy's wife on a picnic. Oh, it wasn't my gal.
Wasn't your gal?
No. Here's Bob Hill, one of the guys I work with. Still lives down in Phoenix. Trying to think of something here. Here's a guy. We found that dinosaur up on the mountain, way up there someplace. And when they stopped us digging, I went over and went to sleep. Anyway.
Well, when people go out to look for fossils, did they try to preserve them if they found them?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was a sin to disturb one, although I guess some people did. But there was. Do you call him archaeologist? There was one or two here, and they went crazy. And they did dig some up, and there's one they dug up out of here someplace, and I forgot one. Completely assembled. Well, that's a good friend of mine. He was my oiler. Yeah, here's my oiler. And here's one of my associates. This same thing down here. What is this? Oh, this is this guy's wedding. It'll be quitting.
Did a lot of the men meet girls up here and get married?
Quite a few of them had girls come back from back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not many. I suppose, yeah, well, I guess most everybody. I did. I married a girl here in Glasgow.
How did you meet her?
Oh, through a party, simply. Now, we went out agate hunting. These guys did. Went agate hunting. We found a lot of agates, and I still got one or two around the house. And this is one of the strikers that I work with. This is some gal yet. I've forgotten her name. Anyway, here's the barracks. Here's the big building we went to today.
Oh, yeah, that's the theater. Did you go to the movie?
I didn't go very often.
No?
Uh-uh. Let's see. I might have had a girlfriend sometime. I guess that's... I was someplace where I had a girl. These somebody's taken. I don't know what to do. That's about the end of it. And here is the water out there where the dredging was at night. That's a night picture. And that's a pretty good thing to have that picture. Here's the pipe comes in, goes on over there someplace, and there's lights. You have to have a light on the catwalk that's on top of the pipe so you can get in and out. And I guess here's the dredge. Up here's the cutter front. Yeah, that's a nice picture.
Would you work all three shifts?
I worked, at first, say, all day shift 1 week, all afternoon shift 1 week, and night shift 1 week. And then I was single, and it sort of occurred to them that if they could get somebody that would be a relief inspector or operator. So I took a job as being a relief, which meant that I worked probably 2 days. I think I worked 3 afternoons, 2 days, and 1 graveyard. And I got off on Saturday, I believe, at midnight. Came home, cleaned up, dressed, and I went out to the honky-tonks by 1. Almost all the time. And all my buddies, about 6 of them, would be pretty drunk. And by the time it was time to close, about 4 o'clock, I was quite sober, but I was able to bring them home. So bring Carlo and drunks home. And my roommate was one of them.
Well, somebody today was telling me that the honky-tonks were really dusty when people danced.
Oh, yeah, dusty fly everywhere. All those, so I don't suppose they ever had. They were never vacant. I don't think somebody's in there all the time dancing, drinking, and everything. And I heard some guy talk to his family back home after he was here just a few days. And he said, this is the rowdiest place, something like this. This is the rowdiest place I ever saw. Every night you can go to the bar, and men and women are standing right up there drinking beer and whiskey just like a man.
Did you like to dance?
Not very much, no. I did once in a while, but that was not my fun. And I wasn't a great drinker either. I watched it. I still watch it. I don't drink. But here is the picture of a pipe busted.
That's, now that's the fill that they're taking out of the from the dredge. Oh my gosh!
Now you see that pipe over there?
Mm-hmm. That's one that you broke?
No. Oh. Yeah, the one that I broke, but this is not the one that I broke because I was scared to death when that. Yeah, that's the way they look.
Boy, did that happen often?
No, I suppose it'd be one every month or something like that, and pumps broke a little oftener.
What did they do to you when the pipe broke?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. That was part of the show. This is part of the fill after it's filled. And this is someplace. This is, well, oh yeah, this is up on the fill, and I think this is I think this is going to be the top of the dam right here. And that was some lookout towers, I think. I've forgotten. And this here is, oh, of course it's all the same thing. This is the railroad track, I believe. I believe that's the railroad track. Because here's the mm-hmm. here's the dam there.
That looks like a bunch of outhouses.
It is. It's Wheeler. That's Wheeler. And a large number of the people built their own houses. But I don't have a single house thing. But they were just a little house, about this big. And a fellow and his wife got along pretty good.
Did you always live in the barracks?
No, I finally, later on, went to the hotel. Mm. The last 6 months, I guess, went to the hotel. Now here's the way the lightning looked. Oh, there was a lot of lightning. And I took a picture of the light. And that's the outhouses. Now this is where we're up. We're up digging. That's where we're up digging the dinosaurs. Here's the dinosaur.
Oh,
right there.
Yeah. Did you often go out looking for stuff?
Oh, quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. I went out with a bunch of guys. I had a car. Nobody else had a car. So I all kind of helped. We went someplace, and this is a sign. I guess we're going to Canada. And these are very good buddies. This is the guy I was with today.
Oh, what was his name?
Roy Spaulding. All right. And this here is Kehoe, but he was a tugboat operator. And I went to the Seabees some time later, and there was a tugboat over on Guam. It was here.
Oh, really? Yeah, the same one?
Yeah. Oh, and this, I guess, is
Is this the bridge on the Missouri, the one that raises
up? Yeah, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And here we went agate hunting. We found a lot of agates. And I kept a handful of them, polished, already polished, for a long time. But then finally, when I got to keeping those students, they just kind of disappeared. And there was one or two laying around, I suppose a year ago. I would go visit them. I'm a visitor. I go visiting. Uh-huh. And I would go visit them.
You know? Did they live all over the country?
Oh, everywhere. if I knew where one was, then I'd stop by and see him. And I traveled very extensively, too. Not right then. Afterwards, when I was retired, by that time I had lost my wife through the divorce court. And for the next 10 years, I guess, 7 years, I hunted and fished. And then the next 7 or 8 or 10 years, I traveled. And then the last 10 years, I've sat on my pad.
So you came to the dam in 1934.
Mm-hmm.
What, and did you stay till it was finished?
Well, I stayed till they laid me off.
Oh,
they were, they laid off. Oh, you see all those strikers there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3/4 of them, well, maybe half of them, or more than half of them were just laid off. You're through, no more job. And, of course, I didn't rate. I never rated very much because I just went to work and worked and come home, and I didn't hobnob with any of those guys. And you could, but I thought there is a level of sociability that I didn't want to get out of, and I didn't want to get into it, because I didn't. That didn't do much for me.
Was there a captain on the dredge?
No, the captain, there was a chief engineer and a captain, and then the big superintendent of all of them. Well, the captain, he was down there every day looking around, and the superintendent generally come around. The superintendent was more interested with the operation of the pumping and where it went and how that was and the programs. But the chief engineer, he come every day. And no funny little incidents, except one time the big shots were coming and I was fishing. And I had a big door, side door, just about 2-3 feet wide, so I could throw my line out of it. And I got pretty good. And nobody could see me. And one time there was a tugboat full of big shots coming out there, and I whipped one out about 35, 40 yards, almost hit the tug. But nobody saw me, and I don't think they thought, I don't think anybody knew about it, but I sure brought it in, I sure rolled it in fast. But I had a skillet down there, and I'd catch fish and fry them, and we'd have fish fry, and everything. Then bring them home to different people.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a union among the workers out there?
No, not that I know of. No. No. And you know, that had quite faded away in my mind. After all these years, I kind of had forgotten a lot of stuff. And it's just the greatest thing that ever happened to me that I came.
What made you decide to come back?
Well, I missed the first one because I'm so far away, nobody knows where I am.
Where do you live now?
I live in Carson City. But I lived in San Francisco at the other time. And I wasn't in contact with any of the people that knew or organized it. And I didn't know about it. But since this one, I Roy Spall, the guy, there's a picture of a guy in here who left quite a long time ago and joined the Navy, hoping to get a promotion in the Navy and have a permanent job. He didn't make it. And he was here. He and Roy were very good friends. They were buddies, in fact, while he was here. And he called Roy, and then Roy called me the night before I left. And I said, sure, I'll be there. So I threw a bunch of stuff together and came on up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think when you saw it?
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it's like it was.
So you hadn't been back then?
No.
What year was it you left when they laid you off?
Just beginning of 1940. Well, it was late, very late in 1939.
Uh-huh. So over 40 years.
Yeah, over 40 years, 40 some years ago.
Did anything seem familiar?
Not really, because I couldn't. I came in a different direction from what I thought I was, and that's like this town here. I would get lost here now because on one street, it's running exactly not right angles to where it was when I'm here. Then another street is in order, and I could never. If they would have turned me loose, if they'd have brought me to this hotel and took me out there to town to come in, I would never made it. Never could have. No.
Well, did you go back to teaching after you?
No. When I retired, then I like I told you, I hunted. I actually hunted about 5 years before I retired. And that was a government job. And I could retire. I mean, I could go hunting occasionally.
Well, what did you do after you got laid off here in 19?
Oh, then I went to Parker, Arizona. I think I was about the first guy to leave here. Was picked up on a transfer, as far as I know.
So you transferred?
Yeah, they transferred.
In the Corps of Engineers?
No, from the Corps of Engineers to the Bureau of Reclamation. But see what they wanted down there. They were building a dam down there, putting in a powerhouse at a dam, the Parker, and they wanted some single people to work so they didn't have to have housing. So they had a lot of single people. And they called me down there, and then I really have to say this, which is not very nice. I really had this girl here. I didn't want to marry her. I didn't really want to. Didn't want to marry anybody. But she put up such a good argument that I brought her down there and married her. And then they give me a little shack to live in. We had a couple of kids. And I don't know. It never was a good marriage. After kids were big enough to go to school, I shoot her out. And the funny thing, I was up to here, I was thinking about somebody's going to come over and ask me, how's your wife and how are you getting along? And I was almost finished with all my visiting and everything, and some lady, middle-aged lady, came up and said, you're the guy that you married Hazel Jennings. And I just shunned her and said yes and left. So I think I was trying to get out of here without anybody even knowing I was here, because it wasn't. I wasn't very proud of my conductor. I wasn't very proud of hers either.
Well, the other night when we met, you were telling me about falling into the water off the dredge.
Oh, yeah.
What was that again?
Now bring that back a little bit. Yeah, I remember that the other night.
It was in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Things ain't go away. Well, I get them back. And the sun shines pretty bright sometimes in the wintertime. And and we sat around the dredge is this wide, a little wider. And we had a big stove, big barrel stove. And we had enough fuel in it to last a month, I guess. And I was sitting around there and played cribbage and everything. And the sun was just bright as could be. And I thought, I'm going to go out and get on the bank and take some fresh air. And I was out, walked around a while, and came back, and the dredge would shift a little bit. Well, what it did, it would shift a little bit here, and a little bit here, and a little bit here, and it finally pushed the ground end of the ladder, of the walkway, which is about this wide, a little too far, and I got on it, and I was just a little over halfway. And what it did, it went right down and splashed in the water and stopped. And I looked back, and I said, what I go to the dredge or go to the shore? And I went to the shore because it sunk. It sunk. Well, then I couldn't get, I could see the guys are all around the stove, and the stove is burning, they're playing cribbage, and that's all they're doing. One Sunday. I couldn't get anybody to, and it was cold. It was wintertime, midwinter. And I wasn't dressed very heavy because the dredge was one. I did everything I could think of and hollered and screamed and threw rocks at the wall and clods, I mean, at the siding, and nobody ever said a word. And right about, there was a window right about where the stove was, and I started throwing rocks at it. Knocked the window on the other table.
So were you still up in the water?
I was up about this deep.
Oh, and you couldn't get out?
No, I was getting out. It went down that fast. See, the gangplank was, I don't suppose, quite as long from here to there, and I was a little more than halfway. when it sank in the water, and I would never have made it. I could probably have swam out, but I don't know for sure. But I had it and run for the shore. And I was down to here. I waded out on that, getting out. And I was the clothes as stiff as a poker.
Did you get sick or anything?
Oh, no. Oh, no. They wrapped me up in old coats and stuff and put me down in a hole. I took my clothes off and they put them on the stove and wrapped me up in sheepskin coats and stuff. Put me down in the hole and put a heater down there.
Did you ever get laid off in the wintertime?
No, we worked all the time. But they tried to have us take our leave. See, we got 26 days every year.
Was that paid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they really wouldn't let us go unless it was wintertime or vacation or when the plant was down. Yeah.
Did you ever get hurt on the job?
No. We didn't have very many people. Our bucks never, as far as I know, never anybody got hurt that I can remember. Maybe somebody hurt a little bit, but not very bad.
Well, when you were working at Fort Peck on the project, did you feel like it was a real significant...
Oh, yeah, I was for that. To me, we have many, many resources that we don't take. And I think, and of course that doesn't mean anything, I think they ought to curtail a lot of their folderol and do more of this kind of stuff. What did he say? He said that a dam like this today would cost $3 trillion. That's what one of the big engineers said. Well, I don't believe that, but this is big. You can't realize how big it is. Four big dredges, at least 9 months a year. 10 months. We're just shooting mud up that hill 6 long years. And in that's about 10 months, 9 month years or 10 month years. And then after that, two of them still pump dirt for another year, another 10 months before it got finished. Now that's a lot of dirt. And then just train load after train load of dirt is out in here, out towards Wheeler out there.
You would have been here for the big spill, or the big slide, I keep wanting to, that big slide on the dam in 1938. Do you remember that?
I have to think a little bit. Oh, yeah, I was here. Sure. I was running the dredge right down below the dam. I was no more than 150 yards from there. See, they had one tunnel flowing all the time. And we were on our dredge, was right down. They wanted a kind of a little basin, I don't know, about 100 yards or 200 yards. And they had us down there digging down there. And but here's something that now that I knew that nobody else knew, but I told people, but they didn't pay attention to me. Nobody pays attention to me. I'm really kind of a dummy. Nobody pays attention to me.
You don't sound like a dummy.
Every time somebody would come down there with any authority, I'd tell them, every few hours there's a great big bunch of mud comes out of the tunnel. That's for about a week. And sometimes it would be just real heavy mud, just not mud, but heavy water, just muddy as could be, just rolling out there for several hours. I said, there's something wrong because the mud is coming out, and nobody paid attention.
And it was just supposed to be the water.
Only pretty fairly, not clear water, but fairly good water. But this, and when it came out into the basin there, it was just kind of a muddy little stream when it came out. But this was just pure mud coming right out at the head of our dredge. And it was a nice, beautiful day. And I often walk out and look around on the gang plant. And they brought in the cable, the power cable, on pontoons. And you could walk from one pontoon to another. And so I just walked around. And the guys in there knew as much about running the dredge as I did, the striker. And so I'd walk and stretch a little bit. Not much. I just looked up like this to the dam at the east end. And I looked up and I couldn't believe what I saw. One of those huge, long light poles. Here, every I don't know about that. Every 50 yards or 100 yards, something like that. I looked up there, and I saw what that helicopter was going. And I didn't know for sure. I looked up there, and I stood there and stood there. And of course, the mud was coming out of the tunnels like it did from time to time. I never felt much of it. And another one out. And when about four or five of those big light stanchions up there fell over, my drain stopped. And they went, there was at least an eighth of a mile, or about an eighth of a mile, I would guess, with those light poles up there, they all just all faded over. They fell in. And that's because that's about the length of the slide. And I saw some pretty good pictures of the slide and what the back face of it did is, oh, and I'll go back a little farther. We were dredging, and I was on night shift, and our chief engineer didn't tell us to do anything, but we took orders from the fill as to what we were going to dig. I had nothing to do with the depth of the digging or them telling me. However, the phone was right down there where we were, and they'd tell us, yeah, to go tell their operator to raise up or lower. For about a week before that slid out, there was a feeling, a kind of a thing going around that we have to finish in that year before shutdown time. It was mentioned quite often. And the night, there was a night superintendent that canvassed everything and give us instructions and stuff like that. That's a little bit wrong. There was a guy come around at night, but that wasn't it. The fill, we took orders from the fill how to deep. Because if we went too deep, we might get shale, just pure old shale, that just slips like that. And then they want to get kind of like shale stuff on the outside in the front, which is impervious to water. Now on the inside, it had a tendency to a little more gravel, a little more open. So it would seep for a long time. It did, maybe it does yet. Could seep out and then seep out and go down the, because they couldn't get it watertight. That was a thing that was just impossible. So it did seep a long time, and it may yet, but didn't see it seeping. But anyway, the Army engineers got the idea that we're going to make a great record, greater record than they did already. And they'd tell us up from the field, they'd call up and say, raise up 10 feet. Well, the skipper then, the operator, we'd tell him he'd raise up 10 feet. But who told us? I believe the chief engineer told us, don't do it. And then by the time, the line was, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles long then. It takes a long time for the water to dredge out up the hill. And by the time by the time that mud got up there, I don't know how long, but we figured we'd be off shift. And they'd call the other shift and tell them the same thing, but they wouldn't move up. And what they were doing is really was dredging shale and not enough for the inside. And that's why it slipped. That's us workers' theory.
So, could you hear anything when it slipped?
Oh, no. Well, I don't think I was working when it slipped. No, I wasn't working. I don't believe I was. Yeah, I was, because that's when the poles went out. That's when the poles went out. That's when I... No, we couldn't. No, there was nothing. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't have any idea what it was till I come off shift. Yeah.
Well, do you think... Did anybody lose confidence in the Corps after that?
No. Oh, no. Nobody ever. That was just like a big family all the way through. Nobody. You know, I tell you, we come in some pretty hard times. The $60 a month school teacher ain't going to fuss about much. Only I got $90 second second here.
$0.90 an hour was better.
Sure it was. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. It was 80 cents an hour. The strike is gone. I've forgotten.
But then when you became an engineer.
Then I was on a monthly basis. Paid twice a month. $212 a month. Yeah. Yeah, hey. No, I don't know either. A month. I think a month is correct.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe an hour. You take 45 years of not thinking about this.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Well, were you very... I know when you showed me that picture on election night, mm-hmm. were you all for Roosevelt?
Oh, yeah. But I had... See, when he was here, I had gone up the country with Van Riper and some other gal and his girlfriend, or his wife, I guess, to see the family. And we didn't get back by the time, but we saw the train heading out east from the job site. Or back here someplace. Yeah, I saw the train, that's all I saw. I didn't see him. But that was a big occasion.
Yeah. Were people mostly Democrats?
I would imagine. Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, I imagine. I suppose, yeah. But not much politics out here because nobody could vote. We couldn't vote. Because we didn't live. We weren't registered here. See? And we could have. We were sent or vote in or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever experience anybody being resentful because you were from Oklahoma and not a Montanan?
I did, yes, from time to time. Not particularly here, but I suppose sometimes. Yeah, but yeah, from time to time. I never bothered me. See, it didn't make a bit of difference because I was kind of keen to be Okie. Okay. Because what the problem was, that the thing was, is I was just a little more clever than most people. And not in brains, but in analyzing a mechanical problem. I was almost a genius in analyzing a problem of mechanics. And I feel like that I was far ahead in my skill than the guys that would be razzing me about. So I didn't bother me at all.
So you went on to work on other dam projects
after
this?
I left here. When they laid us off, I think they laid us off in October, and we had enough leave piled up to run until about January. Well, before I left, they circulated our names for employment at other projects. And it's pretty well established that I was about the first guy picked to be transferred, not because of my brains, but because I was single. And they needed single men on projects because they didn't have houses for married men. And I didn't realize that, but I'm sure that was the problem. And I had this girlfriend here that I thought I was going to marry her, but I didn't say I would. But I got down to this Parker Dam place, and it was awful. The barracks were crowded, and the food, we had to drive 7 miles, I guess, to some other company to get the food. And we were on the road so much. It took about an hour and a half, 2 hours to get each meal. And I said, I might bring her down here, so I brought her down. And it was all right. It was, but she was, I don't know, she got awful cranky. She just got terrible cranky. And it seemed like if I come in the house, I had to take a tongue lashing. And if you want to know a little more about it, it made me sick. And I couldn't work. And I finally went to the hospital. I didn't work for a month or two, but I went on the job because you're working for the government. You go on the job. I went, and then I turned into hospital. The government, I'd spent every dime I got, I spent on medicine, doctors and everything. And so one day I said to the doctor, I says, what's the matter, Smee? He said, I don't know. Well, then I said, well, what can you do? What should I do? And he said, I suggest you go turn into a hospital. And I said, you know, Doc, you have got every cent of the money I made for the last year, and I don't have a dime. He said, well, let's try the Veterans Hospital. And I did, and I went home and told my wife that I'm going to Veterans Hospital, and she drove me up to the office, and there was about 25 people on a grandstand waiting to see the doctor, and I come in there, I could hardly walk, and he said, what's the matter with you? And I told him, and he said, well, he said, I think if I were you, I'd go home and rest a while, I think you'd be all right. And I said, I've been sick for 6 months. He said, whoa, 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 he says, if you want to go to Veterans Hospital, I'll put you in there in 10 minutes. I'll start you in there in 10 minutes. I said, I want to go. I've tried everything else. And he shut out everything, filled out the paper, and in 20 minutes, I was out there in my car heading for the Veterans Hospital. Stayed up there uh, 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get well, but I improved, and I still work, but I still had them terrible pains, but not enough to kill me, which almost did every time. And
did they ever give you any diagnosis?
They said it was pancreatitis, and the doc said he said the pancreas is like this. Here's the tail, and here's the neck, and here's the head. We could cut off 3-4 inches down here, and you never know the difference. And he said we did take copious, what do you call it, a tumor thing out of him. And then he said, you'll get along all right, but you have to be careful. Here you have to be very careful, and leave the head of the thing, but take it off above the head, and you're an invalid with somebody taking care of you all the time. So I went back out home, and of course the same fighting was going, never stopped. And but I got along, I worked, but every so often I'd have that pain. But I had it half the time. I was getting over one spell before, but every once in a while I'd have the spell. And I was in the shop one time in the office, and they give me an office everywhere, all the plants I worked in. And and I could feel it like a far off cloud coming. I just feel it. Well, I said, now if I sat real still, it'll go away. I sat real still. Sometimes it would, not move. This time it came, but not bad. It just about killed me. I'd double up and get white as a sheet, and not too bad. But it was bad enough that one of the draftsmen in the room noticed me, and he said, "Are you sick?" No, I said, "I have a little stomach trouble." And he called in somebody else, and they looked at me and says, "Hell, he's sick. Let's call the doctor." So they called the doctor and called my partner over in Oakland. And I don't know, it was half an hour before the partner came. And by that time, it would come gradually in and just slowly go away. Then I was all right. And I was all right when their doctor just come to the doctor. I guess they called him a nurse. And that went on, every 2 weeks or something like that. Didn't bother much. And I don't remember how that happened, but I told her one time. I told my wife, I said, "You're just killing me, that's all. We have to do something about it. I can't live with you. You have to go or I have to go, one or the other. You make your choice." And she said, if I would buy a house, she'd go. So I bought a house, and she gave me the old house. And I'm seeing since.
Did you get better?
Got well. Got pretty well.
Well, Robert, I want to take your picture before the light gets too dark.
Yeah, well, that's it.